And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes from Huntsville back to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa back to Gaston, all the way down yonder to that pretty little town on the plains called Auburn. I'm telling you, there's also big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi thrown in, just for good measure. All right. Well, somebody who also covers a lot of that ground, because he happens to be the chairman for the RNC's Southern States region and also the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, is Chairman John Wall, who's been on the show multiple times. He and I just saw each other up in D.C. at the inaugural events. He was the capable host that evening of the Southern States Welcome Ball with people like Sarah Huckabee Sanders and Tommy Tuberville and Katie Britt and others on the stage that night. Anyway, he's our party chairman, and he's come out with his agenda. Let's talk to him about it. John Wall, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. It's good to be on the show.
Well, thank you for making time. I know you got another meeting coming up in just a matter of minutes. And then I think, did you say you're going to be heading down to Montgomery for the State of the State address?
I am the life of the chairman. You do your radio interviews, you take your meetings, you go to Montgomery, and hopefully find time along the way to live your life and get a little sleep in.
You have the most overworked, underpaid job probably in the state of Alabama. I know that for a fact. When does the butterfly farm ever see you?
You know, I need to see it, especially with the warmer weather. The last few days, I feel spring in the air. I'm like, I need to get back to the farm. That's my route. I always joke about that. People always see me in a suit and tie, but I'm really just a farm boy from North Alabama.
Well, but this is totally, we're chasing a rabbit here, but what people don't realize is you're not a normal farmer. You're a butterfly farmer, which is just the coolest thing I think I've ever heard of.
That, there's not many of us. And you know what I always love to tie that back to is politics, too. I would say God has a sense of humor. He had to give me, I was a butterfly farmer. I had too much beauty in my life. I had to get politics. And I had the ugliest and the most beautiful parts of life.
Aye, nice. All right. Well, fair enough. That's the start of any good speech, I can tell. Well, let me ask you this. I just went on a rant, Mr. Chairman, right before you came on, talking about how deeply concerned I get when I see the legislature kick off a regular session and they've not even announced what their legislative priorities and plans are. You know, and of course, I was part of the freshman class in 2010 that took the state house back from the Democrats. And we came in, we called it the handshake with Alabama. It was a actual plan with actual bills. We even assigned the sponsors of the bills in advance. Everybody knew what the plan was. And I'm just really not seeing that these days. But you came out, story here on 1819 News. You've got the ALGOP's legislative agenda. Tell us what the party at the very least is hoping for.
Yeah, well, look, and I think it is important to have a mission, right? And this goes back to the party platform. You know, everything that is on our agenda talks to, or is coming from, conservative principles that are found in the party platform. And that is, you know, I always, when I'm out there talking, I always say the Republican Party is not great because of our name. It's because of the values we represent. And if we ever forget that, we'll forget literally the building blocks of our founding fathers. And I think that's why people are so excited about what Donald Trump is doing. There's a clear vision. He is keeping his promises to the American people. He's fulfilling these things that he promised he would do. And the party wants to follow that same vein, right? We know there's problems in this country. We know the economy needs to be rebuilt. We know that crime is an issue with the open borders. We know that education is an issue, both with the quality of education and then with making sure that our children are protected from, quite frankly, federal bureaucrats who are completely out of touch with both Alabama's families and our Alabama teachers. So, I think there are some clear things we can do to address this. You know, on the economy, we have a strong economy in Alabama, but we can make it even stronger. Cutting more regulations, cutting taxes. Personal property tax is one of my personal hatreds because it costs businesses more to keep track of it than they actually pay in the tax.
Yes, it does. Absolutely.
So, you know, some free market things there. Free market, cut taxes, cut regulations. I want to see the beginning of reducing the federal or the state income tax. You know, we see other states around us either lowering it or doing away completely with their income tax, and that's going to create a playing field where we're at a disadvantage. And I think we need to start thinking about that now so we're competitive long term. And I could keep going. I don't know how long you want me to talk about. I'm a policy wonk. I could probably talk for hours about, you know, each one of these individual policies.
No,
but I think it really is important to have this vision, to have each bill, you know, something ready in each area with exact bills of how you're going to address the issues.
Well, and I appreciate that. And I think that's absolutely, that's not unreasonable is what I'm trying to say, is to actually say in advance, here's what we stand for, because it does two things. Number one is tells everybody what to expect. It does several things, actually. Number two, I'd say it rallies the troops and keeps people in line because they know what the mission set is. But then it also provides accountability. If you said you're going to do it, then the people can say, well, you said it, you even signed your name to it, and then you didn't do it. How come? And when I see them not putting a plan together, part of me feels like they've got into protectionist mode, and they're unwilling to sign their name to something. They're going to let the chips fall and see where things go. That's one of my chief concerns, is the lack of an agenda when I see that.
Well, and the good news is they can follow the parties, if they the state parties that are based on our platform, if they would like a clear cut agenda, because from the economy to education, where I think it's so important that we start cleaning things up and making sure that, you know, that we stop teaching the DEI stuff in our classrooms and we stop teaching transgender education in our classrooms. Issues like making sure that parents have the complete and total control whether they opt in or out of sex education for their children in public education. I would like to see a bill that protects teachers from being forced to use gender pronouns or being forced to follow other federal, federal or bureaucratic guidelines that goes against their consciences. So I think there's so many clear-cut things we can do across the board to make sure Alabama is better.
I know that one of the things I saw, too, in your piece in 1819, or the piece about your agenda for the ALGOP, is that the party is calling for the state legislature to actually pass state-level illegal immigration legislation that identifies and deports criminal illegal immigrants.
Absolutely. You know, it's one of those things, whether you're... we may not be a border state, but the policies of the open border, the Democrat policies of the open border, have made every single state in this country a border state.
Absolutely.
That's just the bottom line. I would love to see a bill that makes sure that we identify and then deport criminal illegal aliens.
One of the other ones you've got, and I'm still shocked this didn't pass last year, because this to me feels like an absolute layup bill, is the What is a Woman Act? Defining womanhood under state law, just in order to preserve and protect them in their private spaces and all.
Yeah, and we just saw Donald Trump sign that executive order. We're on the federal level. Federal government only recognizes two genders, male and female. And same thing on the state level. Let's define what a woman is, what a man is. We only recognize two genders. Let's be clear about it. Let's be bold. We all know it's true. It's scientifically true. It's factually true. It's politically true. And just be honest, there are two genders, and that's what we're going to live by here in Alabama.
You got two others, or three others in here, actually, that one of which I didn't expect to see. I'll get to that in a moment. But I do see one in here about preventing Alabama businesses and citizens from being debanked. And a lot of people don't realize that's been a huge deal. In fact, I even had somebody that was going to come on Right Side at one point and then had to let me know that their business took a setback because they had been debanked. And I thought, because they were a firearms industry manufacturer. And I thought, my gosh, that really happens even in the Southeast.
No, you know, it absolutely. This is a concern. And you know it's an issue because of the pushback it gets.
Oh, yeah.
And this is 100% something that I think is needs to be front and center this legislative session, because we have gun manufacturers, we have even some farmers that don't fit the political mold. You know, as farming becomes more and more demonized by the green left, but gun manufacturers, gun stores,
oil and gas industry folks.
And I'm gonna say the next step. There are some religious institutions that are being targeted.
Oh wow!
And I think it is so important that we defend individual rights and freedoms. And one of those is the right not to be debanked just because of your political or religious philosophies.
Well, one thing I did not expect to see on your agenda was recognizing gold and silver as legal currency. I didn't expect that. So tell me about that one real quick, if you don't mind.
Yeah, well, and this goes back to a good old-fashioned constitutional argument. Sound monetary policy is extremely important. And if you're a constitutionalist and you believe in the Constitution, the Constitution talks about gold and silver being currency. And I think we have gone astray governmentally with not recognizing it as where it should be in the constitutional framework. So I think this is just kind of getting back to our roots. Same thing with, you know, I mentioned one of the things we had in there too that's a smaller market is cryptocurrency. You know, having free market structures in place for cryptocurrency investors because we want people to be in charge of their assets. We want people to be in charge of their financial decisions, not government. The more government can get out of the way, the better.
Well, and I think we all agree on that, especially on this show. But Mr. Chairman, let me ask you. I've seen in the legislature, I'm not faulting them per se. I know they've had flux in leadership in the Senate, and so Garland Gudger is coming in now as the pro tem to be voted in probably today. Governor Ivey is going to talk tonight in her State of the State, although technically the session's already kicked off when she outlines her agenda tonight. But is there any particular bill that you see that is paramount that you think is going to be front and center for the House and Senate to consider that they've said they're going to do? Are you aware of one?
I'm not one on the legislative level. I have a hard time picking a single favorite state party chairman. There's so many good opportunities to pass good legislation and really stand up for people. I'm going to give you three that I would like to see passed.
All right.
The first is the debanking bill. I think it's incredibly important that we push back against this woke agenda, that we do not punish people who are, for the conservative or religious or pro-gun values. I think a second one is the post-election audit. We're one of the only states in the country that doesn't have one.
Yes.
One of the cornerstones of our republic is making sure people trust the election system. Let's make sure we have some checks and balances. And then a third would be defining what a woman is in state law.
Yep.
Let's make that definition. Let's get this done. Let's move forward and be bold and strong on these conservative issues that we all know are true.
Well, I think those are three solid priorities, and I just hope that the legislature will take them up, because I've been down there in Montgomery. You know, I did 8 years down there, and I've been there when we had a plan, and then I remember one legislative session where I felt like we came in and we didn't have a plan, and so in my opinion, at that point, anything goes. It's like everybody focused on their own individual, you know, things, and they lost the team approach. But we came back the next year and did a better job. And so my hope is they're going to rally and they're going to have an agenda for us to see very soon. And I think the things you just named absolutely should be part of it.
No. Well, and obviously I'm in full agreement. And I think there's going to be a lot of appetite for this. Like, look, we watch what's going on in Washington, D.C. right now. We're watching what Donald Trump is doing. And I'm going to tell you, November 5th was a very, very clear referendum. And not just on the policy of the Democrat Party, but it was a referendum for Republicans as well. The people of America, the people of Alabama, want fundamental change.
Yeah,
they really do want to drain the swamp. They want to get back to the original intent of our founding fathers. And this is our opportunity to do it. We got Donald Trump in Washington to do it. Let's do it here in Alabama as well.
Totally agree. And Mr. Chairman, it's a great place to leave it. So you have a great day, safe travels, and we'll have you back on again sometime soon.
Oh, thank you, sir. Good to be on the show.
All right. Thank you. That was Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall, who happens to also be the regional president for the Southern States under the RNC. I totally agree. And I think he nailed some big bills that really should happen. There's no reason why they shouldn't. Let's take a break, JP. We'll take a break right now. We'll come right back and I'll keep this thing going because agendas matter. Do you see an agenda? I know I'm harping on it, but it's real. And we'll get some text messages, too. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Taco Tuesday, which we've been told just a moment ago should be considered as T-Bone Tuesday, which does sound far more, I don't know, robust. I don't know. Just thinking.
That might just make me hungrier, though. So, because I'm a big steak guy over a taco guy. I mean, I like tacos, but I mean.
How would you like your T-Bone Tuesday, sir? I would prefer it medium rare. Thank you very much. Couple of text messages real quick. Sam from Priceville checking in. He says, as a mayor, I appreciate that last statement. Sam, thank you for your service to the community, and you are most welcome, sir. Scott from Somerville says, if my memory is correct, Tommy Battle kneeled for the BLM group when they were in Huntsville, but HPD put a big stop on their attempt to riot at Big Springs Park. Yep, and I'm not so sure that the big stop on their riot at Big Springs Park might not have been at the direction of the mayor, Tommy Battle. So anyway, I get it. I mean, as I'm not saying he's flawless. I'm not a Tommy Battle apologist, but what I am saying is this. He does not strike me as woke as was described. Now, he might not be a, you know, ruffian-level conservative, but he's been a pretty decent mayor. And right down the road, you got a mayor named Randall Woodfin who's watching his city go in the tank while he goes on Al Sharpton's show to tout his book. And it's just, you know, there's a difference. Recognize it.
Do you remember when, 2 years ago, Huntsville was rated the number one city to live in America?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. So that's all I'll say.
Hey, listen, I'm gonna wrap up this thing about agendas because agendas do matter. And I want to point out a couple things. So first of all, I mentioned that back in 2010, when I got elected, I was part of the Republican wave in Alabama. And if you're not remembering this, then let me just remind you. As of 2010, the Democrats had controlled Alabama's legislature for 136 straight years. Since the days of Reconstruction, the Democrat Party had been the majority in the state House and Senate. And boy, did it show. We are still crawling out of some of the things that they did. But we came in with a mandate. We came in with a plan. And we called it the handshake with Alabama. And the handshake with Alabama literally came out with bills that we said we were going to do. If they would elect us as Republicans as a majority, we said we would expand tax incentives for helping create jobs. We would make lobbyists have to report their expenditures. We would give subpoena power to the Ethics Commission. We said that we would pass an Arizona-style immigration law at the state level, which we did all these things. And the people of the state grabbed hold of it and said, if you'll do it, we'll put you in there. And by God, we did. We, in one night, we flipped it from a Democrat supermajority to a Republican supermajority just like that. And it was like a whole new day. And we did crazy stuff, too, that they would never do before. Like, how about this? No one was allowed to see, I say allowed, no one could see what was happening in the House and Senate chambers during session. Why? Because they didn't want you to. That's why. So we put up cameras and audio so you can watch it online. It's not real sexy to watch. It's like C-SPAN. But you know what? All of a sudden, you didn't have to be there to know whether the bill on the floor was actually getting debated. Just stuff like that. So it was so good, by the way, that the handshake with Alabama, the state legislative, I mean, we literally just, well, the book's called Storming the State House, and we did. We stormed the State House. But Kentucky called us and wanted a copy of it. They made it part of their 2014 campaign platform. They called it the handshake with Kentucky. It was just a complete, I mean, plagiarism is the highest form of flattery, right? But the Republicans in the bluegrass state just literally said, you know what? We need something like that. And so they did. And so Speaker Mike Hubbard responded and gave them a copy of the plan, and they ran with it. Now, this year, I'm not going to try and say they don't have a thought in their head, because they absolutely do. They absolutely do. We have some great people down in Montgomery, solid people. The kind of folks, I used to say it all the time when I would go somewhere and I would hear somebody say, well, they're all corrupt. You know, you must be the only one who's good. No, no, there's a whole lot of good down there. I mean, there are folks down there that if they lived in my neighborhood, we'd be barbecuing together on Saturday night because I love them. And I loved the relationships that I had. That's what I miss more than anything. More than anything, I don't miss the haranguing. I don't miss the schedule. I don't miss the craziness of it. But I miss the relationships because I had some really deep, solid friendships with people that I served with in the Alabama Senate and the House. There's good people down there. But I will say this, 1819 News came out with a piece just a couple days ago, about 5 days ago, saying that the House GOP caucus had launched what it calls its Alabama Values legislative agenda. Now, I said the other day, this is not an agenda. The fact that they give it a name of agenda is a bit of a misnomer. It's not an agenda. It's a list of principles. And I will also add, principles do have to come first. Because if you don't have the principles, then none of the bills are going to be good. Without principles, there is no guiding light, if you will, to walking the path of legislative work. You've got to have the principles in place. Like, for instance, I went down there, and of course, there were some things I was gray on. I didn't have a background that told me a lot about economic development or whatever else, but I knew where I stood on pro-life. I knew where I stood on raising taxes. I knew where I stood on constitutional liberties, like defending the Second Amendment. I knew where I stood on downsizing of government. It was easy for me. Those were principles of mine. I knew where I stood on, you know, putting faith in the public square. You couldn't rock me off those things. Why? Because they were principles. But those are not bills. Those principles guide you, but those are not bills. An agenda is, here's what we're going to do and when. But the Alabama House did come out with what it calls its legislative values agenda, which is basically saying, here's our principles. And they're good. They are good. I mean, I celebrate these. I mean, I'm for it. It's talking about things like election integrity and border security and why they're going to care for service members and veterans and the fact that they're going to try to do what they can for bolstering public education. All that's good. But you're not seeing a plan. Let me tell you an example of what happens when you don't have a plan. When you don't have a plan, you get things like what we happened in the 2022 midterms up in D.C. with Mitch McConnell still in charge of the Senate. It was maddening. Why did we have such a tepid level of result in the U.S. House and Senate in the 2022 midterms? A big part of it was a lack of leadership with an intentional lack of plan. I say intentional. Mitch McConnell, I've got a piece here from CNN, Dateline, December 3rd, 2021. Mitch McConnell told colleagues and donors that Senate Republicans will not release a legislative agenda before the midterms, according to people who attended private meetings. The piece went on to note that, quote, McConnell has long held the view that putting out an agenda ahead of midterms is a mistake. All evidence to the contrary, sir. I mean, he's been around since the contract with America. He knows what happens when you tell people what you're going to do. He just didn't want the accountability. He just didn't want to take a chance on having someone say, you said you're going to do it and you didn't. And so Mitch McConnell literally, well, I never promised you, a midterm Republican wave. Well, of course you didn't, sir. You didn't have a plan. And does that make us cynical about you? Yes, it does. And I'm glad he's not in charge anymore. All right, listen, there's enough of that. Agendas do matter. Ask your legislative body what their priorities are. And when they start telling you good ideas like, well, we want to do something for education, ask them what the bill is. Well, we want to do something for illegal immigration, ask them what the bill is. That's the agenda. All right, a couple more text messages and I'll go to the break. John from Huntsville checks in, says JP, and has found the funniest 8-second sound effect and he wants you to have it. So he sent it to you. So I'm still laughing.
So it's called the Phil sound effect.
It's called the Phil sound effect?
Yeah.
I don't know what this means.
I don't either.
I'm just concerned now. Why would there be a Phil sound effect? Mike from Florence says, listen to the news during the break. I've decided that instead of calling it gender-affirming care, I'm going to call it gender-affirming care from now on. They don't really care about gender anyway, just their radical agenda. Interesting, Mike. Good play on words. Handyman from Caddo, Alabama says, why can't we just have T-bone tacos? It's the best of both combined. Hey, I'm for a steak taco. What do you think?
That's a good idea. I didn't even think about that. I've never had a T-bone taco.
We live in a downscale environment, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could make a taco out of anything. So
that they do now.
Yeah.
When I heard fish tacos, I was like, what? And yeah, they're actually pretty good. And then David from Huntsville says, I didn't like Tommy Battle bowing to BLM, but he is a wonderful person and a good leader. Okay. And I did not remember him bowing or kneeling, but if he did, yeah, that aggravates the crap out of me. I wish he hadn't. I know of one sheriff that did the same thing, and they tried to get deputies to do it, and they all stepped back inside the door and left him out there. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll take the break, and then we're switching gears. Y'all, USAID, has anybody seen what is happening in D.C.? What has got the liberals so freaked out? Well, I'll tell you what. Their slush fund just got put on hold. That's what. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.